Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free and catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to, lots to talk about, lots of fun, lots of entertainment coming from our GOP friends. It's been all about the baby formula. Formula Gate! It's what it's been all about the last couple of days. Nice diversion. Haven't been talking about the abortion issue. Haven't been talking about, well, anything else. Haven't been talking about inflation unless they want to, you know, because Joe Biden did all this. In fact, you know, Rick Scott had pictures of baby formula on shelves across the world. Kevin McCarthy, Americans need a plan immediately. Need a plan immediately to solve the shortage of baby formula in our country. The silence from the Biden administration and the FDA is unacceptable as parents across the country are worried about feeding their children. The voices all over the place on the right. The outrage. Oh, the outrage. Marjorie Trainwreck Green. You know, oh, we could give billions of dollars to Ukraine, but we won't feed the children. We love the children. And then they're like, oh, you know, screw those kids down on the southern border. We should let them starve. I love the headline over at The Independent. It was great. It was, you know, almost half of the Republicans believe we should feed the children, you know, down on the border. Where you go, wait a second, shouldn't that headline be more the majority of Republicans think those babies on the southern border, the non-citizens, the illegals should freaking die? Shouldn't that be the headline? Answer, yes, that's what it should be. So was I surprised when the vote came down and 192 Republicans voted against providing a meager $28 million to the Food and Drug Administration to actually do something about the shortage of baby formula, to actually do something? Was I surprised that 192 Republicans voted against action? No, not at all. Not even a little bit. And the fact that 12, honestly, the fact that there were 12 Republicans that stepped forward and said, you know, maybe we should have the courage to, oh, I don't know. This is the legislative body. This is the body that we're the house where the passions of the people are supposed to rage and where action happens. Maybe we should do something. So all of the Democrats, all 219 of them, and 12 Republicans voted for $28 million to help ease the baby formula shortage, the great baby formula shortage of 2022, which, you know, in this moment, and this is this is the kind of thing that just makes you go, please explain how we get into this moment where the outrage, the finger pointing, the talking points on the F channel are more important than actually fixing the problem, because it's about political wins and losses. It's not about making lives better. So when the Democrats finally come, put a piece of legislation forward, you get the Republican Party saying, no, not going to do it. But we did get nice pictures from Rick Scott. You know, it is. And, you know, like I said, they've been saying outwardly how much they love the children. Oh, they love the children. Except for those down on the border. Screw them. Let them starve. Which is an interesting kind of juxtaposition. Especially since today in Oklahoma, they passed what is now considered the strictest abortion law in the country. The way I understand this, and I'm not a scientist, I'm not an expert, but the way I'm getting this is it is now considered there's no such thing as abortion anymore. And any the second the egg is fertilized, and I don't know when that is, and I don't think anyone can say that. I've been saying that eventually we're going to get to the Monty Python era of every sperm is sacred. So teenage boys, be very careful. This is kind of that, as I'm understanding it, that the second the egg is fertilized, that is now a human person to be protected with rights. And I got to wonder, is that when we start counting their voting rights? I'm not sure. Which means ultimately that the Plan B pill will be outlawed in Oklahoma. That will be a crime. And again, I don't know how you're going to adjudicate this, because as I understand it, you take this as a precaution that... I don't know. But for all those people who are saying, no, they're not going to come after contraception, here it is. This is the beginning. And this is kind of scary stuff. Now, you go, well, why are they doing this, Rick? Well, a lot of reasons. Power, control, that's a big part of it. Other part of it, Matt Schlapp. He's the head of CPAC. He was speaking at CPAC Hungary. That's right. CPAC has gone global. CPAC Hungary. Crazy Pack has gone global. He's claiming this is how you solve white replacement theory. This is how you solve that white replacement. You make those white women have children. I'm not making this up. If you say there's a population problem in a country, but you're killing millions of your own people through legalized abortion every year, if that were to be reduced, some of that problem is solved. You have millions of people who can take many of these jobs. It's amazing how he goes right to the jobs. And I said this a while ago. If you remember years and years ago, Tom DeLay said, you know, we wouldn't need these immigrants if we had all these poor people having more poor people kids. Because we'd have good, cheap labor, domestically grown, a good domestic supply of infants. He asked the question, how come nobody brings that up? If you're worried about this quote unquote replacement, why don't we start there? You know, it's like he thinks he's Magellan discovering something. They've been saying this stuff to themselves for years. He just now feels emboldened to say it. And it's amazing to me because the Republicans who tell us that they care so much about the babies have let the cat out of the bag. They don't give a rat's behind about children. They don't even care about the unborn. It's about the power. It's about the control. You know, we've been hearing about gas prices. Here's another great one. We've been hearing about, Joe Biden, he made gas prices go crazy. It's all Joe Biden's fault. But what have they actually done? Nothing. So today, you had Kim Scheuer, Democrat representative from Washington, and Katie Porter, Democratic representative from California, who put forth a piece of legislation to do what I've been calling for a very long time, make it illegal for gouging. The fact that the oil companies in the first quarter of this year, the first 3 months, have pocketed a cool $100 billion in profit, whereas all of last year, they only pocketed $193 billion. They're going to far exceed last year's profits, and they far exceeded the year before's. Over a 30-year period, our heavy four pocketed almost $2 trillion in profit. But, oh, I know. They got to make money, Rick. You know, that's why they're in business. Yeah, they're in business to gouge you and me. And this is where this piece of legislation that would look into this. And if they found gouging, if they found excessive price during energy emergencies, now there was a caveat that this would be considered an energy emergency time because of what's going on in Russia, that if you found them gouging us, you could hold them accountable. Let's play a little game. How many Republicans do you think voted for it? Let's see, were there 12? No. Was there one? No, there was not one. Not a single Republican voted to say, you know what, maybe gouging is a bad thing. Not one of them voted to do anything. They love complaining. Oh, my gosh. My conservative friends, the grievance crowd, oh, my gosh. They so love to complain, to whine. Oh, the whining. Oh, they love it. It's like a national pastime for conservatives. Whereas in the past, they used to believe that you could solve problems. Now they just love complaining. Because these are people who have no idea how to fix anything. They love causing problems. Oh yeah, love causing problems. Love it. They love pointing problems out, especially the ones that they've created, and then blaming someone else for it. But boy, when it comes down to actually doing something, actually picking up the shovel and cleaning up the mess, No, can't do that. That would be, I don't know, like doing their freaking jobs. I look at also, you can't make this stuff up. Everybody you talk to agrees we have a student loan crisis for a generation. Everyone agrees. There's a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Now, we can all disagree on how we go about this. I have problems with absolute wiping out debt forgiveness because I see the landmines politically. If we don't fix the problem, then we've just picked a generation of winners without the future who are going to be losers. There's a lot that has to be done here, and I understand that completely. We have to do something to help a generation who really did. They got screwed. But again, you're not hearing solutions from Republicans. All you're hearing is no. They're the party of no, no ideas, no solutions, just complaints. So when the GOP came out with their Student Loan Accountability Act, oh my gosh, I love this. No one does BS naming of things like the Republicans do. I mean, they really are good. Again, these are the business people, though, right? They're the people who sold you a rock and told you it was a pet. These are the people who sell you a box and tell you it's a toy. These are people. These are the Madison Avenue PR folks. These are BS artists. They're con men. They're good at this stuff. Much better than the Democrats. Democrats want to make your life better. They want to actually work on policy. They worry about crossing T's, dotting I's, making sure everything's spelled correctly. Not Republicans. No. It's all about the flash. It's the show. It's the name. They spend more time on the name than the actual policy. The Student Loan Accountability Act. And what the Accountability Act means is, sorry, you generation who took out massive student loans because you didn't have really a choice if you wanted an education, you are screwed. No help for you. And no bankruptcy, no way out either. We at least give our corporate friends, like Donald Trump, the ability to file bankruptcy multiple times, but not you. These things are going to follow you to the grave. The Student Loan Accountability Act would prevent Biden from doing anything on debt forgiveness. Now, like I said, there's a part of me that goes, hey, you know, I get that wiping out student loans would be something that would anger some. Kind of get it. But I believe there's got to be something in the realm of fairness that we can do. And I've said my position from the very start was we buy up all the student loans, much like the Home Ownership Loan Corporation did back during the Depression. They bought up all the mortgages, very low interest rates. Over a long period of time, people paid them back. And once it was over, it was done. They closed it down. And, you know, the government made a ton of money off of it. A tiny bit of money off of it, not a ton. And people stayed in their homes. I think we could do the same thing with student loans. Say, hey, you took out $50,000 worth of student loans. You got to pay $50,000 back. But this idea that you're going to pay $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 back in fees and interest and all kinds of insanity that I'm hearing from people is just crazy. And it's wrong. For me, that's the answer. You took out, you know, $10,000 in loans, you got to pay that back. You took out $50,000, you got to pay it back. But the outrageous interest that the people are making huge money off of, that is crazy. And it's not fair. And this is where I think that you could get something done. And then you start working on how do we make sure that future generations aren't in that position. Because look, if we want an educated populace, if we want a populace of people who are going for advanced degrees and want to get the next generation of jobs that our economy desperately needs, you need to have pathways for people to get that education. Seems simple to me. But again, our Republican friends, they don't want any of it because they don't want to help you. They don't want to help me. They only want to help their rich buddies. And for all the rhetoric in the world, all the, oh, we care about you poor working stiffs, their votes matter. Their policies matter. And there's nothing for you or me. Love to hear your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. You got a thought, question, comment? Want to hear it? Is there a policy? I've been asking this question for 17 years now. Is there a policy Republicans have got that help working people? And don't help the investor class, the wealthy. That's the catch. 1-866-416-RICK. Right back after this. Stick around. If you're a fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in 2 segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible 2-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to therickssmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at therickssmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the laptop is back. Yeah, Hunter Biden's laptops are back. Oh my goodness. There's laptops. Evidently, according to a new analysis by NBC News, between 2013 and 2018, Hunter Biden and his company brought in about $11 million. Via his role as an attorney and a board member with a Ukrainian firm and some work with some Chinese business people. It's a whole bunch of shady stuff. And to be honest, don't really care. If there's crimes, he should go to jail like anybody else. Should be investigated, should go to jail. I don't know that this kind of crime is this kind of important, raises to the level of Senate hearings, unless, and this is where, again, my caveat comes in, unless there's a direct link between Hunter and Dad. If there is a direct quid pro quo, hey, Dad, can you do this so I can get paid? Unless there's that link, I don't care. I'll let the system work its way out. This is not an indictment of Joe Biden. Unless you can show me that Biden did something that made it possible for Hunter to do. Did Hunter Biden use his last name? Absolutely. Do they all? Oh my God, yes. They all do. In fact, what's interesting about today, and talking about emails, I love, but the emails. There's a story. there's a story. I wonder if this was on the laptop. There was a story about Tucker Carlson and Hunter Biden emails. Evidently, Tucker and his wife asked Hunter Biden to help get their son into college, into Georgetown. There's a trail of emails. Yeah, hey, can you help Bucky? I don't know who in the hell names their kid Bucky. But the guy wears a bow tie, so I'm not surprised. Can you help Bucky? I know you don't really know Bucky well, but can you help Bucky get into Georgetown? didn't think that much of a that bad of him back then to use the president, the vice president at the time's name to help Bucky get into Georgetown. And I'm going, you know, I hate elites. And I hate the elites on so many levels. And look, this isn't new. You know, people, you know, kids of you know, powerful people, you know, cashing in on their last name. You know, because I was thinking about this Hunter Biden thing. You know, it's not like Hunter Biden is in charge of foreign policy or, you know, I don't know. It's not like, you know, his wife is out, you know, trying to bring, you know, peace to the Middle East, being in charge of our Middle East policy or anything like that. I can seem to remember a president's kid's spouse doing, being in charge of something like that who had no business doing it. You know, it's not like he was selling off journalists to the Saudi government to be sawed up. You know, it's not like that was happening. It's not like he got a $2 billion kickback from the Saudi government. Nothing like that. You don't hear Tucker or the right even mention, you know, those little things. I got to wonder, you know, I got to wonder. Now, if there's that kind of, you know, if Hunter Biden helped facilitate the Saudis to chop up a journalist and you know, got a nice $2 billion kickback because of it, then, yeah, let's talk. But for all 10 purposes, Hunter Biden's a screw up. He's struggling with addiction problems. He's a guy that they're kicking while he's down. They're bullying a poor guy who's really, he's got problems. Now, if he committed crimes, there's a system for that. But this, I'm not there, you know? And this, again, is part and parcel of what the GOP does so well. They do. They kick people while they're down, and they kick them hard because they can. And this is the spot that you just go, it's too much. It's just too much. Let's quick get Alice in here before we take a break. Alice, what's on your mind?
Well, did you ever notice that those laptops of Hunter Biden or whatever has to do with Hunter Biden, or even Hillary, always seems to come up when we're trying to deflect the attention away from, oh, January 6th or something Trump did or somebody down there on the insurrection or, you know, abortion.
Very convenient, so, isn't it?
I know. You know, it'll be months. And then all of a sudden they're back in the spotlight again. Oh, well.
It's amazing how that happens. Thanks, Alice. Appreciate it. No, she's absolutely right. It's amazing, the diversion. Just like the baby formula thing. Look, is it a problem? Yeah. Here's what a functional government would have done. Here's what a functional Republican Party would have done. They wouldn't have had all this performative outrage. They wouldn't have held press conferences with pictures of baby formula on shelves in Panama. They would have put forth a piece of legislation with their name on it and said, hey, look at what we did. We moved legislation to solve a problem. But again, you know, it's not about solving problems with them. It's about outrage. It's about getting their 15 seconds on fake news. It's about, you know, riling the base and getting them pointing their anger at Biden, at Democrats. And it's up to us to say, you know what, enough of this political theater. How about you do your freaking jobs? And your job is to legislate and to vote for things that are going to make lives better. The fact that only 12 Republicans voted to do anything to put baby formula on shelves is a massive indictment of this party. Just my thought. Love to hear yours. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. If you miss any of today's program or any of our programs, make sure you get to grab the podcasts. Quick break, right back at
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, you know, I've been sort of vindicated, I think, a little bit. Because back when the Democrats threw Marjorie Trainwreck Greene off of her committees, I said, I think it's a bad idea. And I took a lot of heat for it. I said, I think it's a bad idea that Democrats clean up the mess for Republicans. I think they should have to clean their own house. And you're like, no, we should do this. I go, no, what she did was, you know, is wrong. It's deplorable. It should be the Republicans' problem. That albatross should be around their neck. It's not my job to clean up someone else's mess. Let them deal with it. Now I'm finally seeing someone in the Republican Party, this Representative Don Bacon from Nebraska, saying, you know, maybe we should get rid of some of these, well, the troublemaker caucus. Maybe shut them the blank up so that we don't look like all goofballs. This is what I was saying. Keep Cawthorn, keep Lauren Boebert, keep the train wreck woman right out in front. Because my main point was, when she was on the education committee, anytime she would open her mouth, you'd go, see, we need more funding for education. Exhibit A. That simple. Anyway, here to share some more thoughts on this story and on a guy with a great name. I love the name Bacon. Yeah, I just do. I guess I love Bacon. Here to share some thoughts on Bacon, I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story. Rawstory.com, their website, if you want to check out her incredible work. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello. Don't you know that in Nebraska, the name Bacon just goes over really well? I don't know if there's that's a big hog state or not. But who doesn't love bacon, right? Vegetarians, that's really it.
But even then, you know, the smell of bacon is great. You know, and even if you're a vegetarian, I got to think you like the smell of bacon. I don't know.
Do you know you could get bacon toothpaste? That's a thing.
Yeah, that you can get bacon flavored just about anything. Some of it's weird to me.
A little bit. Like lube, bacon flavored lube.
Yeah, okay. So that's where you go, right there. Right there.
That was actually on an episode of Bones. I'm feeling that.
All right. On the episode of Bones. And is that where you put the bacon lube?
Well, they thought it was some sort of taste thing, and they ended up like taking the whole tube and pouring it in their mouths, and then they read the label, and it was... So then they spent the rest of the episode trying to get the taste out of their mouth, and... So he meets up with his wife at one point and he kisses her and she goes, you've been eating bacon?
Speaking of taste out of your mouth, Marjorie Trainwreck Greene. Evidently, she's telling women that abortion won't make men love her.
Which is very interesting to me that she presumes that women are having abortions to get men to love them. And that also that she thinks that some dude who, you know, doesn't want to be a father and is uninterested in, you know, marrying his baby mama is somehow going to love somebody more because they have a kid. That doesn't seem to work with every possible indication that I've ever seen. But, you know, what do I know? Things in Georgia might be very different. They might have a lot of shotgun weddings there.
Yeah, I'm not going into any of the stereotypes of Georgia. I mean, she is who she is. And I'm hoping, I'm hoping Marcus Flowers wins the primary, and I'm hoping he electorally takes her out in November and the good folks in Georgia get some actual representation, because she is I don't know what she's done other than, you know, prove Representative Bacon's point that, you know, she's just the troublemaker caucus. She doesn't have any real solutions. And I look at, you know, baby formula gate. She's out there complaining a lot. I don't see her doing anything to make it better.
Yeah, she voted against the bill that would have
delivered. Of course
delivered.
She did.
Yeah, and so did all of the other Republicans. The thing that is crazy to me, and Representative Bacon, he's not even talking about Green. He's talking about Chip Roy and what's his name? The other guy.
Gozer? Gozer?
No, there's another dude. Anyway, he's talking about two other troublemaker dudes. And they, you know, basically have been calling for roll call votes, which doesn't seem like a big deal, except when you have 400,000 thousand members that are on the floor who are, you know, have to vote. So you, you know, have all these people who have to show up at their desks and swipe the card. And then, and when you have offices that are like two blocks away and four floors up, you're like in a meeting with your constituents, you got to run down the stairs, run across the block, up the stairs of Congress, into the chamber, swipe your card, and then go all the way back. And you're looking at like, that's like at least 30 minutes, yeah, right? Maybe even more. And there are a lot of people who genuinely take into consideration their district and their constituent services. And I would assume that Mr. Bacon, given the fact that he's actually in a blue district, he's a Republican in a blue district, that's probably something he needs to focus on a lot.
Yeah, but the other guy that you were talking about is my congressman. I don't know how I forgot that. Scott Insurrectionist Perry here in central Pennsylvania. What does he care about? He's in one of the safest districts in the country. Even if he's indicted, and I'm hoping he will be, he'll probably win from jail.
We haven't really had anybody who served from jail, have we?
No.
That would be nice.
But I have faith in my central Pennsylvanians that this could be the first time that our insurrectionist representative could be the first.
The question for you, is there a jail in that district? Because it may put him in a different congressional district. I mean, if he's not living in the district, then, you know, because he's in jail.
No, it's all crazy here. You got to learn the district because this is Mastriano country. This is Benito Mastriano country. This is where if you're an old white guy who looks like a thumb, we love you. And look, there are signs everywhere who they want this guy to be governor. And what's scary is there are some sane Republicans who are going, I hope this guy loses because Pennsylvania could become crazy almost overnight, because what was once somewhat a sane Republican Party in this state has really been taken over by real, true fascist extremists.
And it's hard because I remember in 2016, folks like American Bridge talking about, you know, oh, we want Donald Trump to be the guy that we run against because he's so extreme. He's so far out there that there's no way he could possibly win. And so when you play this game with Mastriano, I get a little nervous because it's like, we tried this once before and we lost. So I would like to see, you know, how the dude campaigns, but it seems like everybody already has been treating Mastriano like he's losing. Like everybody in the Republican Party is treating him like that. I don't know if that means that, you know, Donald Trump is going to step in, and like he didn't even endorse the guy till the week before the election.
Right. And this guy really wanted his endorsement, courted it heavily.
Yeah.
Did everything he could.
He's been on Trump team for years. And Trump wasn't jumping right to helping him. That's not a good sign.
I don't think he'll implode like Scott Wagner did in the last election. Mr. Golf Spikes, where he literally flipped out on the side of the road in front of a billboard where he threatened the sitting governor that the sitting governor better get a face mask because I'm going to come and beat you with golf spikes. What the? But yeah, that was, fun.
They have pills for that, you know.
They do.
Not for the golf spikes, but so you don't start screaming on the side of the road with golf spikes.
But that was, you know, that guy kind of lost his mind. I don't see this guy doing that because he's got a throng of people who are behind him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think folks who are a little bit more wary about looking insane, like they're a little bit better about covering up the insanity versus Madison Cawthorn, who just puts it all out there.
Yeah, I got to play the Scott Wagner clip. I love this.
Okay.
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office because you know what? I'm sick and tired of your negative ads.
We're going to You better have that face mask because I'm going to stop you with my golf spike. I love that.
Do you just like carry that around on your phone, and then every time you're having a bad day, you just listen to that and start giggling?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, yeah. No, because he literally lost his mind during the campaign because at that moment, the state wasn't as crazy as he was. I fear the Republican Party because of the influence of Trump and this, and really the hammering of they've internalized the victim complex that Trump brought them, that they really believe the election of 2020 was stolen from them. And Mastriano was one of the key cheerleaders. And they believe that this guy, once he's governor, he's going to right wrongs. They're not going to steal the next one. It's scary times.
Well, I think, too, those are questions I would love to see in a debate where because you're talking about Josh Shapiro is a really, really smart dude.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a debate. I don't think Mastriano will debate.
Oh, my gosh. That would be cool, though, because then he could just, Shapiro could just be like, what's up, Doug? Why are you so scared?
Empty chair it?
Yeah, I would empty chair the heck out of that.
Now, what I find interesting is Trump is surprised that the person who was the most Trumpy, Kathy Barnett, did well. And I've been saying, and I've taken some heat for it, that had she been an old white guy who looked like a thumb, like Mastriano, she would have won in a landslide like Mastriano did. But that she's a black woman, didn't do as well. Did well,
I think,
with no money, but didn't win in a landslide like she should have.
I think, too, if she was a white dude, Trump would have endorsed her.
Absolutely.
And that's
because here's
the thing.
Here's the thing. Her supporters are out there saying the election's rigged. What's more Trumpian than that?
I know. That's my favorite part of this, that, they're, that she worked so hard to claim that the election was rigged in, was it 2020? And then she did it when she ran for Congress, right? In 2016, or was it 2018? Anyway, when she ran for Congress, she claimed it was rigged. When Donald Trump was running, she claimed it was rigged. So the fact that she came in third, I'm really shocked that she's not saying it's rigged. However, a lot of her supporters are. A lot of her supporters are demanding that that there be an investigation, that something sketchy is going on here. And what's funny to me is that now Trump is stepping in and he sort of jumped on that bandwagon because he thinks Dr. Oz should have won in a landslide. And yet, but he's accusing his own party of having problems here. And so I feel like if I were Barnett, I'd just be all over that being like, yeah, it was rigged. I should have won it.
It's the mail-in
Trump
vote. It's the mail-in vote. It's amazing how the Republicans have come around to accepting the mail-in ballot now. Wow, it's incredible. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Sarah Burris. She's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, where you can check out her incredible work. Highly suggested. Now, I find it interesting. I find it interesting that there's kind of a rewrite of history going on. Mark Wayne, whatever his name is, from your state of Oklahoma, and now with this Elise Stefanik, they want to go back and expunge Trump's impeachment. Can you do that? I mean, can we go back and expunge Andrew Jackson? Can we go back, do that one? Can we expunge Clinton's?
Ironically, you cannot. And it's funny, too, because I was looking around trying to figure out the answer to that. That was my question, was like, is this even possible? And so I started looking around what people are saying. And in 2020, folks were really pushing that idea out there because Trump suggested it. And so I wonder if, not for the second one, but for the first one. And so I wonder if, his supporters are behind something like that. And that's the reason that Mark Wayne, Gary Wayne has, adopted that as his, campaign thing, because he's running for U.S. Senate in Oklahoma. Like, is he hearing that from his people back home? I don't know.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I mean, Oklahoma's crazy enough, evidently, because your state is going to now, I guess, be the state that hates women the most, I guess. This is the way I'm reading this. I guess I should ask you what your thoughts on Oklahoma being the state that is going to have the most restrictive abortion law in the country. And as I understand it, And I don't know how they're going to, I don't know how they're going to figure this out, but the moment of conception, anything, you know, I guess that's the moment that I don't know. Explain this. What have you done in Oklahoma?
So unfortunately, I clearly haven't been doing enough in Oklahoma because it's getting worse and worse. I feel like they have decided that they want to take the idea of the Texas law and just be bigger than that. They want to try and be bigger than Texas. And so they took that Texas law, they applied it in Oklahoma and gave the caveat that a fetus is alive at the moment of conception, at the moment of fertilization. So for anybody who has, say, an IUD as their form of birth control, an IUD prevents the fertilized egg from attaching in the uterus and, you know, growing. And so that would essentially be a medical device that would stop a pregnancy, that would abort a fertilized egg. So IUDs are going to be illegal. Then there's the idea of IVF. So for women who want to have children, who desperately are fighting to have children, they basically harvest all your eggs and they fertilize them in a little petri dish and figure out which ones are viable and throw some of those in there. Sometimes some of them take, sometimes they don't. And so it ends up in a situation where they might have fertilized eggs sort of in a freezer in the, you know, back out on the porch. Not really, but in a lab, right? You'll have a bunch of fertilized eggs in a fertility clinic. So does freezing them mean that they're being murdered? Like, how does that work? What does the law work like on that? If they throw them out because she got pregnant and she's like, I'm good, you can, you know, toss the rest of them, like, is that considered an abortion? So there are a lot of questions I have about this law and that weren't explained. They did put in caveats for life and health of the mother, and they did put in a caveat for rape, sexual assaults of any kind, and incest, but only if they're reported to police, which if it's illegal to, you know, in Oklahoma to basically get any kind of health care as a woman, then why are you going to show up at a police station and report that you've been attacked?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or there's going to be more reports of those kind of things going on. Or who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows the chaos that you're causing? Now, you know, I also heard that, and maybe this is just a Washington, D.C. thing, that embryos are fueling the energy supply in Washington, D.C. Are we burning embryos to turn the lights on? Is this what I'm hearing?
So I guess it was the UIL, the Unborn Something League. It's a really crazy fringe anti-choice group that had their president testify before Congress yesterday. And at one point, she started going into big time descriptions about ripping body parts out of a woman and all kinds of stuff that's like, that's not how that works. That is a little bit concerning that she doesn't know these things. But then she said that apparently in Washington, D.C., we are burning fetuses as a fuel source. And I don't know how much energy you get from a fetus. I'm not sure how you calculate that. There's not a lot of burning, you know, that happens in D.C. Like, we don't, that we already have like a big enough pollution problem because the city's so big and it's a huge metro area. So I'm just like, how does that work? How would that create that much energy?
Yeah.
But two, like, what company? I want to know, like, was she under oath when she said this?
Yeah. You know, it's the same thing. I have people tell me that you could, when my wife and I were having our children, that on the drive to the hospital, we could have decided, you know, which way we were going. So when the doctor was right before the head popped out, we could have decided, you know, which way we going with this? Are we going to have it? Or are we going to get rid of it? Yeah.
Which is such a lie. That is so much of a lie. Like, it's, and it really bothers me because people, there's so much out there that people keep lying about to create that level of emotion and to try and push people, you know, to be anti-choice. And like, if you have to lie about all of this stuff, if you have to make up crazy science stuff just to get people to be on your side, maybe it really isn't your area of concern. Like, if you're going to be that crap crazy, then maybe you shouldn't really be on a public face of really anything. Because if I was the anti-choice movement, I'd be like, somebody get this woman off the stage.
Yeah, no, because
she is hurting your cause.
Look, I mean, you could make, there's some arguments that I might be persuaded on. You know, if you had the right policies to move in a direction that we're going to make lives better. You know, my problem with all of this is, you know, the people who are the anti-abortion people, they haven't given alternatives. They haven't got, hey, we're going to make sure that every kid gets the health care that they need. Every mother is going to get the prenatal care that they need. They're going to make sure that they get the education. Look, I grew up, you know, poor. I grew up in a housing project. Lots of those kids didn't get the basic necessities that they need. And I don't see any policies that are going to, we're going to force women to have kids and then give them no help. I mean, this baby formula thing is a perfect example and has shown the heart and soul of the Republican Party. They literally said, we don't care if those kids down on the southern border die. Don't care at all. Which just exposed the hypocrisy of their entire, oh, we love the children. We care about the fetus. Nonsense. You care about the power and control.
Well, not even that. They voted down the legislation that would have helped, you know, basically cause more, like give more funding for these companies, because we have this massive company that basically rules the majority of formula in the country. So you've got three other companies that are much smaller, and so they have to ramp up production. That's why Biden sort of enforced the Defense Production Act and all of these different policies that have to be funded. Like, you can't just say, you know, make more stuff. You have to actually help people figure out how that's going to work and what taxpayers are going to pay for to make this happen. And so Congress tries to pass this bill and no Republican votes for it. And I was like, you guys spent the last week talking about this being the most important issue, the biggest deal in the world, and you've been screaming at Joe Biden, blaming him for this, when it's basically another corporate scam. And that's the reason that these people have skirted safety regulations just so they can do stock buybacks. That's basically what happened at Abbott.
Yep.
And so, you know, they've been doing all of this and then they vote against the bill. And you're like, what? Wait, what? Why? Why?
Because it's not about getting things done. It's about performance. It's about political theater. It's about outrage. It's about feeding the minions the outrage candy that they need to keep them stupid so that they don't actually realize that they're getting screwed over by the people that they're voting for. It's about keeping them all riled up and all bunched up in the panties and angry at those Democrats who, well, haven't done a really good job of messaging on this either.
Yeah, they really haven't. I mean, they just sort of figured out that it was going on like a week ago, and they did the recall for the formula that was killing babies in March. So that sort of began the problem. And then whenever, you know, there ended up being safety problems and everything, Abbott ended up being, you know, having inspectors come in. And so it became this huge thing. And so I'm shocked that, I think the only reason that Republicans figured this out is, you know, one of the mom blogs started talking about it, freaking out about it. And all of a sudden, then it was on Fox News. And once it was on Fox News, then every Republican was complaining about it. But when Democrats stepped up to actually solve the problem, to, you know, take down, start yelling at the FDA administrator saying, were you asleep at the wheel? What the hell was going on? Republicans were just nowhere to be found.
Well, they were to be found. And they were in front of a camera. Rick Scott had pictures of baby formula in Panama. He had pictures of baby formula on shelves all across the world.
And what's interesting, too, is the reason that we can't import formula from other countries is because of Trump's new NAFTA bill that he passed. They outlawed that in Trump's bill.
And I'm actually okay with that. I believe in domestic production for domestic consumption. We should just be breaking up these four companies that oversee 90% of the production. We should be demanding that there's competition, something conservatives and Republicans used to believe in, but somehow, not so much now. We just need things to keep the masses all doped up on outrage, which is where mm-hmm. we are. But Sarah, I appreciate the time, all the great work you do over at Raw Story. Keep it up. Look forward to having you back again real soon.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You as well, our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out the work that she does there at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Gonna take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.